now, it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. Second hour, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. So there you go. Lots of good stuff there. You can call us 693-1150 or text us 229-1939. Some good questions on Twitter today and some good questions coming on the text line. I've got a good one during the break that I want to ask you here in a minute. We talked about the A&M record. We did that one earlier. Someone tweeted us this question earlier, and this is an interesting question, but it is. If you could only watch – this is from Grant Perry on Twitter, by the way. If you could only watch games of four sports teams for the rest of your life, which four teams would you pick? And A&M teams in this case are separated out by sport. Cease, what do you got? Your four teams.
I'm a big Pittsburgh fan. I'm going to take all
Pirates.
I'm going to take my Pirates, my Steelers, my Penguins. And so that way, I'm over three seasons.
Okay.
So I would need a fourth. That's interesting. See, I'm a Pittsburgh guy all the way.
Yeah.
And that way, I do all the sports.
Well, doesn't have to be pro though. You're about to wipe out college sports from your entire.
Well, I understand because it's obviously because I grew up a pro guy because I was a big Penn State fan.
So what's your fourth?
Well, that's a good question because. I would go for the I love football as a fan, but then, you know, what I love about baseball is it's so long. And if you get bored, you've got something to watch each day. Like, after 20 years, this is the third year my Pirates have been in a pennant race. You know, after 20 years, it is so good to be in a pennant race. Because I was reading Gene Collier of the Post-Gazette, and they've got – The Post-Gazette is two columnists. One guy, I feel like old school me, and Collier, I don't know where he smokes or what he does. He's just off on a deep end, and you got to have people compliment each other. And he was talking about how the Pirate fans right now are just complaining about everything. He says, they're complaining about this, they're complaining about that. And they had the best record in baseball, I think now we have in the last 3 months. And he goes, 5 years ago, this team was 41-78 today, you know, you people. Which is true, you know, and sometimes you forget. It's so great if your team is relevant.
Yeah.
I don't care what you are. And boy, that's a great question, because suddenly the fourth team.
Yeah.
And, I drew a blank right now because I'd be so happy if I had those three because I'm a big Pittsburgh guy. And so I get a fourth team. Boy, if he said three, and that's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
You don't have any big – you're not a big college football fan, so.
Well, I don't have – I don't have a fan. You can say, well, Sester, you covered A&M forever. That's true. But, you know, 20, 10, 15 years from now, we don't know who they'll have, what they'll do. I guess I would probably have to say, I guess A&M football, because football is king, and that way you get the SEC flavor, and you know, that's the only game I
can. Well, and presumably you would still live here and you'd want to talk about
it. Yeah,
with
so everybody. I'd probably do that, but see, I'd follow that question. Okay, am I dead and I'm in heaven and God only allowed me to watch four, and that's the only four games?
I'd
get no other input.
Yeah, I think you're alive still.
So I'd probably go with A&M for that reason. And like I said, the first three are easy. But the other one is, that means I only get to see 13, 14 games.
Yeah.
So I get a little bit, you know, I get a little bit nervous if I confine myself to football. You know, that's a tough one.
Right away, my first one was A&M basketball and then probably A&M football. But again, I'm a college guy. So, and then from
you
there,
wouldn't do the Indianapolis Colts.
I was going to say from there, the next one would be the Colts and then the Houston Astros after that. Even though I'm not a huge Major League Baseball fan,
I'm a huge baseball fan.
My ties to the Astros are a lot stronger than to anybody in the NBA.
Yeah.
And the NBA, even when I was into it, and even when the Lakers were good, I didn't watch much NBA.
There's not an NBA team. You could give me 100 teams, and I wouldn't have an NBA team up there. But that's how you grow up, you know. So once again, I went to Pirate games at an early age and down at Forbes Field, and that's just hard to believe. And University of Pitt, all their sports were horrible when I was growing up, so you had no affiliation. And like I said, I'm just a big Penn State fan, but that's only 13, 14 games a year. I'm not going to confine myself to that. So
yeah, there you go.
That's a good question. Who was that?
That was Grant Perry on Twitter.
Wonder if he did four, thinking of four major sports. So wonder if he did that.
Yeah, and I think the question is more, do you go to college or do you go pro? Another question we had that came in, the first flavor of Bluebell you plan on buying when they hit the shelves.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because announced today, Bluebell will be back. Is it September 1st, August 31st?
August 31st, and my family was pretty happy. The two ladies of my family that
Blue
I ate
Bell
with at lunch,
back.
They're excited with.
What's your first flavor?
I'm always a Neapolitan guy because I get three.
Neapolitan?
I get three.
Wow.
I get three.
I could have had eight guesses on when to guess Neapolitan.
You get vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. You get all three, baby. I guarantee I'll be the first one I'll buy because that's where you get all three.
I do a lot of different things in the ice cream world. I'm a big butter pecan guy, chocolate chip cookie dough guy, a butter crunch guy. But if it comes the first pint in, 6 months,
vanilla?
7 months since they've
vanilla?
Been gone? Vanilla. I'm a vanilla guy.
I love a good vanilla.
See,
I guessed that, but that's why I wanted... I would have, like I said, vanilla chocolate, but that's what I love about Neapolitan. And you know what I love about Bluebell Neapolitan? You buy the imitations, Neapolitan's horrible. You get three horrible flavors in one. Nobody can do Neapolitan like Bluebell. Because all three taste the way they normally do if you buy the whole one. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Someone tweeted thoughts on the assistant coaching hire of women's tennis.
I saw that.
An all Aggie coaching staff is interesting.
And what's interesting is he was head coach at Brazos Christian. In 2002. So he goes from graduating A&M, goes to Brazos Christian, and 14 years later, he is associate head coach at A&M women's tennis. What a huge move up for a guy who's now a name I just forgot, that I just saw, just a little bit ago.
Yeah, it's been a long day. We got a lot going on. It'll be interesting
to
see.
Kudos to him.
Interesting to see, like I said, all Aggie coaching staff.
He's only 39, so he's really young.
Yeah, it seems like a young staff. They'll be energetic for sure.
Okay, when I read that, and we've all had interactions with Mark Weaver, the head coach.
Okay.
Nice guy, whatever. And here's the deal. People always ask me, hey, Cessna, what is this coach so-and like? What's this guy like? I said, hey, great guy, great woman. Bottom line, got to win games. Doesn't matter.
Got to win matches in this
Weaver,
case.
And I wish Mark Weaver luck and success because Joffe raised the bar. Way up there. And, kudos to him, Elise. But that's where the bar is at now. A&M's not going to settle for, they went to the NCAA Women's Championship, went out in the first, second round. No. They got to get to the Sweet 16. To me, that's just an average year, getting to the Sweet 16. And so Weaver's got a lot of pressure. And I think there's a lot of pressure on Hyman. He elevated him. He hired this guy. Confidence in him, as well he should. A&M's tennis facility, is pretty good. They got everything going. So kudos to them. They got things rolling because guess what? That guy texts or women texts. People care about A&M women's tennis because it's way up there.
Got a couple more texts. Some people said whatever flavor they're serving at Kyle Field for Bluebell. Someone said the Millennium Crunch. I do love a good Millennium Crunch. It's good.
I haven't had that one.
Ooh, man. It's got the little caramel pieces. It's got all kinds of stuff.
I'm not a big caramel guy.
I'm a big caramel guy there. Our old board op, who's now working over in Lubbock, she said Team Taylor Swift or Team Katy Perry. Obviously, Marissa has forgotten everything she ever learned about us while she was gone, because I'm clearly on the T-Swift side, and you could care less. So I'm just going to put you on the Taylor Swift side also. So there you go. That one's done.
Sounds good to me.
Zach asked, do we like crunchy or smooth peanut butter? Hard-hitting question.
I don't like peanut butter.
I don't either. I would say smooth because the thought of crunchy peanut butter, makes my
no.
Ugh.
No.
I don't like peanut butter in general.
Nope.
I only like Reese's peanut butter.
I'll eat some Reese's cups down there, but I'm not a big peanut butter guy at all.
Got a text question, and I like this one. This is a tough one. This is a real one. Which team would A&M match up better against, TCU or Baylor?
Ooh. Now, I think the better matchup would be TCU, but I think as far as Baylor's concerned, A&M had beaten Baylor so many times, and I know things are different. I think psychologically A&M would just have the edge on Baylor?
Well, I think if TCU and Baylor are exactly the same, then I think except for their styles of play, I think that it would probably be TCU would be the better matchup just because they're not quite. They're still in the process. I mean, they had a great offense last year, but they're still early on in their implementing of the air raid. This is only year two.
Still early.
And
they play better defense historically under Patterson. TCU.
Yeah, and Baylor has defined their offensive system. They're very familiar with what it is, and everyone that's been in it's been in for a long time. But they're not the same. I think TCU was better than Baylor, so I would say Baylor is the better matchup because I think A&M would beat them.
That's why I'm saying, too, because TCU is like number two in most consensus polls.
Yeah. And I think Baylor's probably a little overrated this year.
Yeah, because, you know, Baylor's, okay, is it the system or what have you? If the guy that comes in quarterback this year, if he's on All-American list by the end of the year, even honorable mention, then Art Briles has got it going on. Because he had Petty and he had RG3. So now can you do it with whoever the guy is?
Well, Baylor is a combination of a few things right now. They're a combination of their schedule. Their
weak conference.
They have a weak schedule, and their conference isn't that great. The Big 12 is anything special right now. And Baylor plays three just awful teams outside of that. So they got that going for them. They also have kind of some mojo going right now. And then, you know, by college football standards, Art Briles has been at Baylor forever by the modern standard of how long coaches have been at places. I mean, he's...
Well, at least coaches that have gone somewhere that hasn't won and have won, they usually move on. They move on to something better, but he's staying at Baylor.
Right, so their system is working pretty well for them right now. But just this particular year, and I still think they're fine long term. They got some great recruits coming in. They got, they had a big-time freshman at receiver last year. That was the five-star, I can't remember his name right now, Katie Cannon. They got some good players out there. But just for whatever reason, I just don't believe in them this year as much as I did last year.
But just think of the hype be going on right now if A&M was opening with Baylor or TCU versus Arizona State. And Arizona State's consensus is like a 15-18 in most polls. So, I mean, A&M's not opening with chopped liver by any stretch of the imagination. But if it was TCU or Baylor, which you're looking at the top 10, moving on up the ladder, but what kind of hype we would have around here if they were opening the season with TCU or Baylor?
It'd be an interesting... It'd be an interesting dynamic because there'd be people that want to play them just to beat them, but then there's also the other people that'd be like, oh, what if we lose to them?
And not only lose, but lose like 61-41. Which Baylor and TCU could do to anybody, which A&M could do to somebody.
See, and again, I I'm not that sold on Baylor this year necessarily, but I think TCU is going to be. Well, we're going to see pretty soon. But I think they're going to be real salty this year. So there you go. Like I said, the matchup, if both teams are equal, I think the scheme works better with TCU. They know each other's better and all that kind of stuff.
Depends how you look.
But I just think TCU's a lot better.
It depends how you look as a good matchup. I think TCU by far is a better team. And on a rough time, I vote on the AP Top 25, and I put down it's easy to put TCU up at number two. And you know, I have to laugh, and this is why you need to play a few games. I don't know how good Baylor is either. Everybody wants to put them up there in the top five, and it's hard not to for what they've done or even knock them down in 7-8. But is Baylor really that good this year? And I don't know. I don't know the answer.
And they've got good players.
But everybody has good players.
Yeah, the McGowan and Oakman and all these guys, they've been getting all the hype for. They were in the ESPN photo shoot and all that stuff last week. But people forget that Baylor played some close games last year with some teams that weren't very good. And I know they beat TCU, but really they shouldn't have. I mean, that was a fluke. I mean, they just happened to...
This is a team that a lot of things gone on and didn't win at West Virginia.
They lost to West Virginia. They only beat Tech, who was horrible by two. That game was 48-46. Their Kansas State game was 38-27. And I know K-State was pretty good last year, but if you're talking a team that should be in the playoff...
Not even close. Kansas State, not even close.
So, and again, because of their schedule, we only get to see about three games that matter for Baylor. They're going to wipe the floor with
and
the
then
other
it, then it's easy
eight
to,
or nine.
It's easier to coach your team that way because if you got guys not needing to go as hard in practice, not needing to go hard in certain games, rest them the second half, you can't do that if you're in the SEC West, or you can't do it if you're in the a Pac-12, let me get my divisions north, one of those divisions, north or south.
Pac-12 South.
You can't do that. You can do a lot in the, I mean, you could go 2 or 3 weeks and rest a guy if he's got a bad hamstring.
Put it this way, when is the first time this year that Baylor will be favored by less than 10? All right, and here's their schedule, and just stop me when I hit a team that you think they'll be favored by less than 10 against. SMU, Lamar, Rice, Texas Tech at a neutral site, at Kansas, at home against West Virginia, at home against Iowa State, at Kansas State.
Okay, at Kansas State.
November 5th.
At Kansas State. Is that 8 games?
We're like, yeah.
Because I think they're going to be 10 over Tech. I mean, it's like, that's what I'm saying is, as a coach, can you massage that? Because you can not show up twice and win.
Yeah.
You don't show up twice in the SEC West, and you're down there, baby.
Yeah, you're buried.
You're down the bottom looking up.
Well, and also, like I said, the way they did their schedule, they start off with 3 non-conference games, and they are all horrible teams. When Rice is the best team on your non-conference slate, that's not very good.
Well, we saw that a few years ago with A&M. You could take a quarter off and still beat Rice by 30.
You could sit Johnny Manziel for half.
You could sit Johnny Manziel by half and still be winning. Anyway. With a quarterback that's going to transfer.
There you go.
Two right.
CU. Let's go to our break. We'll come back. Had a little bit of news on the student-athlete quest for whatever they're questing for today. We'll talk about that when we come back. And if you have any more questions, hit us up 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Texans are teaming up to reduce teen pregnancy.
We're teaming up by starting the conversation.
We're teaming up to educate our community.
We're teaming up to mobilize a coalition.
When it comes to reducing teen pregnancy in our communities,
we're teaming up to make a difference.
OurTownForTeens.org is helping communities all over Texas reduce teen pregnancy by putting the resources you need at your fingertips. OurTownForTeens.org. Team up. We can do this.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
Summer is here, so it must be Harvest Festival time. Make plans now to join the Messina-Hoff Winery family every weekend in August for the 38th annual Harvest Festival. Enjoy grape picking, traditional grape stomping, wine and food pairings, specialty dinners, and so much more. Messina-Hoff's estate winery is located at 4545 Old Reliance Road in Bryan. That's the 38th annual Harvest Festival at Messina-Hoff Winery and Resort. Get all your Harvest Festival information online at messinahoff.com/harvest.
Come stand with the 12th man at all Texas A&M athletic events. You make a difference for our student athletes in our venues. Tickets are available at 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com/tickets. Thanks and gig 'em. Aggie fans, Texas A&M Athletics is always just a few clicks away on your digital device. Stay connected by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit 12thman.com/social media for a complete social media directory.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
On Sports Talk, Chip and Krista discuss Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux's surprise wedding.
I don't know if Justin hangs out with the same crowd that Jennifer does. That could be a problem in the future. Mm-hmm. What does Justin do?
I don't know. Isn't he an actor?
No, I think he's a gaffer. I don't know. I have no idea what he does. No clue.
I don't know.
I think it's going to last forever, though.
Sports Talk, tying the knot of truth tighter and tighter. Weekdays from 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle Bloom and Cessna wrapping up before the high school report. Those guys they're driving themselves crazy, I think. They're getting too hype for next week.
They're counting it down. There's a big clock out there, you know.
The high school tab is due.
And right now we've got like 16. We got like 10 state championships in the area because you know you're going to different divisions.
It's
here, baby.
It's coming. Real quick, for those of you
it's a real rush, and Larry will be interviewing Matt Rush. No, again.
You will be. Yeah, Matt Rush is coming on next. The one thing that did happen today, a little bit of news I want to talk about, because we talk time about some of the big picture problems, and not necessarily problems, but issues facing college athletics. And the Northwestern attempt to unionize officially dead today, the National Labor Relations Board, whatever their official title is, essentially ruled that they could not form a union, which is not that surprising. It was a reach anyway.
I thought it was, too.
Because even though I think college athletes deserve more rights, it's going to be hard to collectively bargain because of how different each situation is. Each state is different. All the schools are different. There's public and private and all these kind of different things. So that was a reach from the get-go. But that came out today, the little bit of news there. It is interesting, though, to follow this thing because I think a lot of people, you know, it's sort of a tide is coming kind of thing where we all think by 2050, I don't want to speak for you, but I assume this, by 2050 we all think there will be at least an 18 playoff. If not, it's going to be more than four, at least eight. And we think there's going to be super conferences by then. You know, everyone sort of thinks these things are inevitable. One of the ones that I think is inevitable is that college athletes are going to get paid. It's just a matter of when and how much and how they're going to figure all that out. So it's interesting to kind of see these steps, you know, that kind of happen along the way to what I think is an inevitable destination.
Well, I think it's inevitable, but I think that there's a lot of hang-ups like we're seeing right now is what do you do with the women's tennis player? Is they're going to get as much as Miles Garrett is getting or what have you, his likeness and image and all this, then suddenly get lawsuits. Well, they represent the university. So that's all going to be worked out because I do believe it's going to get down to Miles Garrett is going to get the same check, basically, as a tennis player, unless he can go ahead and his image is sold on Madden or what have you. And that's all going to be worked out. And you don't do that overnight, when you're looking at 125 schools. And then what about Sam Houston State? What do you do there? How do you get that money? Do you eliminate sports? So you say 2025, and I'm laughing. This is 2015, baby. I mean, it's got to take some time.
I thought I said 2050. Did I say 2025?
Oh, I thought you said 2050. Yeah. Okay, that's a little more realistic. It's going to take some time.
Yeah, and these things, it's funny how when you can see the inevitability at the end of the road, but you still have to live through the steps to get there.
Yeah.
And people want to jump ahead sometimes.
Well, I think
these things are going to take time.
And I'll use my generation, the Andy Messersmith ruling in baseball like in 1969, and here we are in 2015. It's taken a long time to get here where suddenly you can have the Kansas City Royals are still winning and the Pirates. It takes a long time for the system to adjust.
Yeah.
I think it's going to work out for everybody, but it's going to take a long time for everybody to work. It's just like cost of attendance. You ask someone about that, oh, wow, hey, because no one knows.
Well, and it's like we talked about this before. There's all these what if crazy scenarios that people come up with, the hypothetical police that come out of the woodwork.
Right, exactly.
And one of them about
what if Baylor's good? You know?
Well, and it was like athletes getting paid. One of them was, well, what if Alabama offers every guy on the team $50,000 and A&M can only offer $5,000? The thing is, it's like anything else in the free market. It's eventually going to level out. Maybe at first people try to do that, but it's not sustainable. The market eventually will correct itself.
Yes, it will.
And
you help it. There's certain ways you can help it. There's certain ways you can put limits and all this. But that takes time to find those.
Yeah. By the way, we got a text from Thomas in College Station, and I wasn't going to bring this up today because I was going to wait for Kroom later in the week because this is more up his alley. But he said, you're not going to talk about Tottenham giving up a two-goal lead over the weekend.
Oh, wow, you're right, I'm not.
To be fair, though, my Gunners haven't looked good and neither has Man U.
Who's Tatum play for?
Again, from Thomas in College Station. It was a rough day Saturday. I got up. Tottenham gets. They were up one. Right as I got up, they scored a goal. Overslept a little bit. They scored a goal. Then they get another one. They're looking good. It's 2-0. We're bouncing back from the first game. And then all of a sudden, the bottom fell out. Give up a penalty kick. And then a ridiculous goal that was scored after that. So Tottenham looked horrible. Like I said, the bottom fell out. They didn't want it. Man United didn't look very good. Chelsea looks borderline awful. The team that looks good, all of a sudden, Manchester City, killing folks. See, 3-0 their first two games of the year.
Okay.
We did. Well, here's the thing. On Friday, we did the Premier League game of the week. Man City.
That question to Kroom, do you think he'd have one of the soccer teams and top four teams to watch all time? Do you think he'd put a soccer team up there?
That would be interesting.
You need to ask him that one.
Because he likes Southampton, but I don't know if he likes them enough that he wouldn't want to watch anyone. He might just pick four soccer teams. To be fair,
I'm wondering. That's why everybody's different.
And the trick here for Kroom is that he can loophole out of this thing because we didn't necessarily qualify where golfers would count. So since that's not really a team, I think he could still watch all the golf he wants. So I think Kroom would probably be okay. I think he'd get a couple college basketball teams and then maybe two soccer teams. But
interesting.
Yeah, it was bad. I was going to try to go through on the show without mentioning it, but this guy come talk about Tottenham giving up a two-goal lead over the weekend. It was bad. It was a bad start to Saturday. Didn't like it at all.
Is Tottenham a town or just a team?
Yes. It's actually, I think it's like part of a town.
In England or somewhere like that, right?
Well, they're all in England.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
It's the English Premier League.
So.
There's one that's like in Wales, but that, you know, whatever. That's getting technical.
Yeah, that's real technical.
There you go. So that was the update to on Friday we did the Premier League game of the week. We said Chelsea, Manchester City, and that game was wild because Man City killed them, and all of a sudden they look awesome. So maybe they're back.
Take your word for it.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, high school report. We are T-minus 8 shows until high school football starts. 5 shows this week, and then the first 3 next week. Thursday's game day for high school football. So we'll have that when we come back. We're talking with Allen Academy's head of schools, I think is his name. So come back for that. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Former Bryan City Manager David Watkins died this morning. The city of Hot Springs, Arkansas, said in a statement that Watkins, 61, died early Monday at a UAMS medical center in Little Rock. He had been undergoing treatment in the intensive care unit there after sustaining serious injuries and a fall on his back stairs. He was reportedly due for surgery today. Watkins served with 2 Bryan mayors. The College Station City Council gets its first look at next year's proposed budget. Staff is recommending no change in the tax rate, but increased valuations for most property owners means paying more next year. Utility rates are proposed to remain the same. The proposal includes adding 2 more synthetic turf fields at Veterans Park for football and soccer and repairs and replacements at other parks. There's $3 million to design a new police station and another $1.3 million to replace the air conditioning and heating system at the current police headquarters. The council will be holding as many as 4 budget workshops. Public hearings on the tax rate are set for September 2nd and 10th. You can prepay for Aggie football parking starting tomorrow at noon through the ParkMe app and website. Texas A&M Transportation Services Associate Director Debbie Hoffman says parking for all home games will be available on a first-come, first-served basis.
The whole season will be available for viewing, so a person can purchase the Alabama game and they can purchase another game if they choose to as well.
Hoffman says prepaid parking is available at 6 locations on campus and ranges from $25 to $30 a game. You can go online to parkme.com or download the app on your smartphone. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Hello, it's Toyota's annual clearance event. This is Jan.
Hi, Jan. Hey, what's going on down there anyway?
Excuse me?
I'm the traffic chopper guy, and I noticed a lot of people headed your way. What's the deal?
There's a huge deal, actually.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Well, you can get 0% APR financing on a bunch of Toyotas. The bold Camry, the versatile RAV4, oh, the fuel-sipping Prius.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Oh, it is.
annual clearance event is on now. But this event ends September 8th. Now, during Toyota's annual clearance event, get 0% APR financing for 60 months plus $1,500 special edition cash on a 2015 Tundra Crew Max Special Edition for a total savings over $6,100. Visit gstoffice.com for details. Offers available in select states and N9850. Toyota, let's go places.
Water. Every living thing needs it to survive. The Texas economy runs on water, too. Lakes and rivers help bring tourists to our state to enjoy water sports and recreation. Tourism accounts for roughly $52 billion in revenue a year and keeps more than 500,000 Texans employed. The water we conserve today can serve us tomorrow. This important message brought to you by the Texas Water Foundation and the Texas Association of Broadcasters.
Welcome to the season that dreams are made of. The stars have aligned for a positively enchanting new Opus season. The main stage lineup features Beauty and the Beast, sponsored by Aggieland Credit Union, Million Dollar Quartet, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Disney in Concert, magical music from the movies, and an opening night concert starring Voice Play, sponsored by Allstate. Season and single tickets on sale now at mscopus.org.
Your home for Houston Astros baseball. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Time for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bergdozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bergdozer is proudly supporting the youth of our community. Larry Bowen joins me now for the High School Report. And, Larry, what do you got going on today?
I'm looking forward to this. It's something a little bit different. Aubrey, over the course of the last year or two or 14, however long we've been on the air with the show here, I've had actually two College Station school district superintendents, and also the current Bryan ISD superintendent, Tommy Wallace, on the show. And today we're going to have the Allen Academy head of school, Matt Rush, and I'm they're a private school, but as best as I can figure, with my limited bit of knowledge, the head of school is pretty much the superintendent for the Allen Academy school systems. That's the way I would look at it. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Larry. I appreciate the opportunity, and it was great to see you after many, many years away from Bryan College Station the other day.
What we need, I'm going to do full disclosure here, Matt, and it speaks to my age and diminishing mental faculties. But I was out there last week. I did interviews with your head football coach, Jason Jolly, and Cody Vega, for a story that will run in our preseason football section, which will be coming up next week. I really enjoyed that. Cody is a very interesting young man, but as I was leaving, I do what I do, which is talk to everybody who will stand still long enough for me to talk. But I've got to admit, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I'm going to just admit it, I had known you in a previous life, and I didn't remember, and it's embarrassing, but you know, I was like, hi, I'm Larry Bowen. You're going, yeah, I used to sit right next to you in the press conferences back in the old days. But Matt, you were an A&M student. You did work for the battalion doing sports, and so even though the old man can't remember it, we had a connection a long time ago. Tell us about being at A&M and working for the battalion. And you were there really when they had it going pretty well.
Yeah, we anybody who I meet who was at A&M in that same era, we say the good old days. And of course, it's a little bit of Bruce Springsteen glory days stuff. But you know, the football team was really dominant, and I think we lost maybe three games total in the 4 years that I was there. And a tie to SMU, but it was a great time to be a student. It's always a great thing to be an Aggie, and you know, that's one of the reasons I decided to come back to Bryan College Station. And certainly missed the battalion days, but had a great time writing sports and covering you know, football and basketball and baseball and meeting some amazing people, coaches, sports writers, everybody. So I look back on my time very fondly at A&M.
You know, Matt, was I anywhere close to the ballpark as the head of school at Allen, basically the superintendent? I mean, that's pretty much a corresponding deal. You guys are like king of the world, pretty much, right?
I think that's it's a fair analogy. I mean, an independent private school is a little different, certainly from a size perspective. I don't know how superintendents of big districts do it, whether it's Bryan, College Station, Houston, Dallas, whatever. So my role is not nearly as many people. I'd liken it more to like a president of a small private college. So,
right.
You know, you know everybody, but the sort of day-to-day operations, leave that to the certainly great faculty and the heads of school, which are basically like the, I said, division heads, are basically like the principals
right.
Each of the areas of the school. So.
Tell us, we're visiting with Allen Academy's Matt Rush. He's the head of school there at the private school. And I bumped into Matt last week doing some football interviews. Matt, it's kind of interesting. I talked, we did have Tommy Wallace on the show several months back, the Bryan superintendent, and he had come up through coaching, something I didn't even know. And I know that some of the other superintendents and administrators that I've dealt with over the years in public schools in particular have sports backgrounds, whether it was as an athlete or sometimes an athlete and a coach. Just kind of give us the Reader's Digest version. I know you grew up in the Dallas area, or at least I thought I knew that. I've forgotten everything else. I might have forgotten that as well. But you grew up in that part of the country. But tell us about your athletics background, because you did come here and you did work for the battalion and you covered sports. It's not like you were into opera and you got to A&M and decided to be a sports fan. You must have a sports background.
Yeah, well, no one wants to hear me sing, that's for sure. No, I did grow up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I went to a school much like Allen, a little bit bigger, but same kind of ethos of the place, Green Hill School in Dallas. And I went there kindergarten through 12th grade and then came down to A&M. And, you know, just like anybody else, played the high school sports. And, you know, baseball was my primary focus and, you know, attempted the long shot to walk on to the A&M baseball team. But as you might recall, at least in the 92-93 season, we were number one in the nation for a while. So certainly not good enough to play at that level. But I've been very fortunate to have coached at the college level, at the University of Dallas and also at Columbia University in New York City, and also got to be, this is a story for another time, but got to be the assistant baseball coach of the Great Britain Olympic baseball team. So, yes, coaching there and got a chance to coach high school football at Green Hill, won a state title up there. So very fortunate to be around some great kids and great coaches and have some success. So sports definitely a part of my life.
You have a connection just as some of the other administrators that we've talked to over the years. So I'll ask you something, Matt, kind of philosophical. But,
sure.
You know, it's the high school report. I mean, we get deep. We dig into things. But talk to us. And your situation is different because it is a small private school. It's not like Bryan or College Station or Rudder or Consol, where there, you know, you have smaller classes. Your senior class several years ago when my son graduated, they had 24 in the senior class. And from what I heard the other day, basically your class sizes have remained somewhere close to that. I'd like to congratulate you on not following A&M to go into 80,000 students. But talk about how you see, I mean, you have a background. You've been part of it. How do you see athletics fitting into the overall thing? Now, it's not public money. If I have one of the superintendents from Bryan or College Station, I can hit him over the head with the public money thing. It's the same thing. It's a youth of our community that we talk about in our show. And you guys, it's your job to educate them and to help make them into people that contribute to our society. How do you see sports fitting in? And I don't know if it's fair to ask you that question, it probably is a 15-minute answer, and I'm going to give you about two. But how it works, and maybe in particular at y'all's school.
I think the size is a really helpful thing for us because, you know, a lot of schools talk about student athletes, and the reality is for us is we don't have athletics without all of our students participating. So, you know, we ebb and flow as the talent in terms of athletics comes and goes, but we also don't see athletics as a separate part of the educational component of Allen Academy. It's a part of the deal, and learning how to be on a team, play with the team, and opportunities that you might not get at a bigger school, a public school, and that's no disrespect to them, but you know, when you don't cut in a middle school sport because you say you want to come out and try something new, great. So we see a lot of value in the opportunities that are presented, not only with athletics, but some of our other things as well. But specifically, since you asked about athletics, it's a huge part of an area for someone to grow before they get out of high school. So I think last year we had something like 75-80% of our students play at least one sport, and we had numerous students play all three seasons. And even within that, Carter Cassell, who was a senior last year, he was one of our best football players, MVP. We didn't have enough guys to run in the state cross-country meet, so he put on his shoes and ran as the fifth guy. So that just sort of typifies our school and everybody pitching in and helping each other out.
We've got a couple minutes left with Matt Rush, the head of school at Allen Academy, and we appreciate Matt taking the time to be with us. I know this morning my sources tell me that there was an open house, and so he's probably, you wouldn't believe this, he's probably relieved to be talking to me after talking to parents, and I know the parents' questions have got to be harder than mine. I want to ask you this, Matt. This happened before you got to the school. Is this your second year there now, Matt, or am I making that up?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird the weird answer, because I actually started in May of actually two classes ago, so that last month of school. With the class of, what is that, 14, I guess.
Right.
There was an interim situation, and they allowed me to start in May. So,
right.
Yes, my second full school year.
Well, you weren't part of this decision or part of this process, but it was rather contentious. I'm sure you know the history of it, but Allen Academy actually was one of the founding schools of TAPS, the Texas
Yes.
Association of Private and Parochial Schools, and was a leading member for a long time. And then there was some disagreement with that organization, and Allen Academy moved to Texas Christian Athletic League. It's
Right.
a smaller league. It's it gets less credit and less respect. I don't mean necessarily from me, but that's just generally the way people see it, in particular because it is smaller and it's not as established.
Sure.
But can you talk about it? It seems as if, and you've just come into this the last couple of years, but it seems, and I wrote stories about this with Jason Jolly and Dave Bliss when Dave was there, it seems like it's been a good fit. Now, I had to ask Jason Jolly and Cody Vega last week, because he is such an exceptional athlete, how does he fit in? And part of the story is, you know, is he the big fish in the small pond? Because it is a smaller school, and it is in TCAL. But it seems to be working for you guys. I don't know if you spend much time having to defend the fact that you're in TCAL. If maybe the academics are so important to you guys that extracurriculars and the organization that monitors them is not the most important thing. I'm just curious, you came into this deal and it was done. I mean, it's what
Right.
you inherited. How do you feel about Allen and your fit and how you guys are regarding the organization?
Right, so that's a great question, and certainly have a pretty good sense of the history of both TAPS and TCAL as it pertains to Allen. I spent the last year evaluating, and I was working alongside Dave, of course, and the coaches evaluating whether TCAL is the right fit for us in terms of like-minded schools that are a part of that. And obviously, we've been very successful in TCAL. We won 6 state titles last year, and I mean nothing to take away from our athletes or coaches, but if you asked any student on campus, they would say they want better, different competition, and so that's something that I took into consideration. And actually, Jason and I had a meeting with the TAPS board in early June to, I'd say, clear the air, make sure that we were all on the same page. They had some internal things going on as well the last 4 or 5 years, and they've made some changes. And so we're investigating what's going to be ultimately best for our school and our student athletes. We will certainly honor our commitment to TCAL this school year, but I'm not sure. I can't say right now what we're going to do for 16, 17.
Right. So there is a possibility that you could go back into the bigger, more established league.
Right. And
so
and,
what you're you saying, know. We actually got news on the high school report, Matt. I mean, it's. I'm sure the guys back at the studio are probably passed out. We won't have anybody to play commercials.
Well,
that's a good. I'm glad we asked you because it has been an issue that you've been so successful. But in the case of football, Jason Jolly has to go out and find TAP schools and public schools to play to try to get your kids competition. It's the same thing he did last year. It's the right. same thing he's doing this year. And you guys, I know Jason said you're rebuilding a little bit. You could very well lose one or two or a couple of games at the beginning of the season and wind up winning a state championship and just killing people.
Right.
So and I think it's an interesting question, and we will keep up with it. I want to thank you for being on with us. And the other thing, too, is bless your heart. I know you were tempted, and there's probably a lot of people that wanted you to make fun of me for all the stupid questions that I asked at Coach Slocum's press conference when you were at the battalion. But you were nice enough not to do that, and you were also nice enough to be on with me even when I had to admit that I didn't remember you. You have to remember, though, that from the college years to the head of school years, you know, things change a little bit.
They do, and neither one of us are getting any younger. But Larry, I say this all the time when people ask me about my time at the battalion. I say, I remember Tuesday mornings in the fall very well because we'd sit down in Kane Hall, which was like the gem of campus at the time. And you always, Coach Slocum always turned to you and say, what do we got, Larry? You always got first questions. So I remember those days fondly.
I thought you would remember the chicken fried steaks at Kane Hall, Matt. That's probably what I remember best. Well, thanks very much for your time. We wish you guys the best. We appreciate you and what you're doing over there. And maybe we'll be talking to you about the future of the school as we go along.
That would be great, and I really appreciate you guys asking me to be on today.
Okay, thanks. That's Matt Rush. He's the head of school at Allen Academy. Jason, Aubrey, I know I was talking about Jason because he's their interim athletic director,
yeah.
Jason Jolly, their football coach that I interviewed. But Aubrey, that's newsworthy there, even that they're even considering the fact that they might go back to TAPS because they've done so much, but it's not their fault. It's not the student-athlete's fault. Cody Vega, the guy I'm writing about, 9 state championships.
There you go.
But, you know, it's not his fault they're in TCAL.
Yeah.
So I think it would be interesting if they thought about going back. You coached in TAPS, so you're a big TAPS guy.
I'm a TAPS guy, what can I say? There you go. That was today's High School Report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll come back real quick with the news. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal.
So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish Home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
What can you do to help enforce the Texas tobacco law?
I make sure there are no cigarettes lying around the house anymore.
If my girl came home with her clothes smelling like smoke, you'd bet I'd say something.
I'm a police officer, and yes, we will get involved if we see teenagers with tobacco products.
If you want to report a violation, you can call this toll-free number, 1-800-345-8647. That's 1-800-345-8647.
Enforcing it? It's up to all of us.
This message from the Texas Department of State Health Services.
Every driver has met that guy. You know, the guy who cuts people off and doesn't care what anyone else thinks. That guy who refuses to come to a complete stop at a stop sign because he always comes first. If you've never met that guy, think about it. Maybe it's because you are that guy.
Aggressive drivers, they aren't just rude, they can be deadly. Be safe, drive smart. This message sponsored by TxDOT.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Construction Science Department to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M's Construction Science Department uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams. 823-7551. Green Teams.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
The Citizen to the Zone, 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, joined by Darren Benson, who I've given a whole minute and a half to tell us what's all going on in the news.
I can do it. I can do it in 90 seconds. I will tell you, you've already mentioned the Bluebell. Thanks for stealing my thunder there. About
yep.
The big announcement from Bluebell today that they will be back in stores on August 31st for select Texas counties. Brazos County is one of those.
Yeah.
It's about 15 or 20 counties.